the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. Let us pray.
Once again, Heavenly Father, you have given us an opportunity to go to your people the way of radio. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to the nation of the Bahamas and whoever else might be listening. We ask your divine guidance, your Holy Spirit presence. And at the end of this program, Heavenly Father, like in the past, we hope that you be high and lifted up, so that at the end of this, you get all the glory and the praise. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening and welcome to Turning Points, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. This is our first ever call-in live show, so we want to welcome everybody here. The telephone numbers are 322-5545 or 322-325-5545 or 325-5403. Our family island listeners can call in on 1-300-8255. And we'll be opening our lines in a few minutes. But first, let's meet some of the principals involved in Turning Point. Now, here's the president and founder of Turning Point, Paul Miller.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and good afternoon, wherever else there is listening to us this afternoon. Once again, we are happy to have this opportunity to come to you via radio live today. And we hope that whatever is shared with you tonight will be one that will help to draw you a little bit closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who paid an ultimate price for us over 2,000 years ago. And in case you didn't know, the Bible says that we are bought for a price, and we are not our own. And even if you don't realize this today, you are the properties of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He would do anything to save you if you would just allow Him to.
And our health director, Marlene McKinney.
Well, good evening, Bahamas. We are so excited to be able to come into your homes. It's a beauty, it's a joy that you have tuned into our first ever call-in live show. And so if you are listening, we are opening the lines. We'll be on from 8 to 9:30 tonight. And we are just simply interested in sharing the truth with this nation as to how we can gain health, not just physically, but spiritually. I would like to say at the beginning that we are not about a church. Yes, we attend church, but we are not about to form a church. Many times people ask us, who is Turning Point Ministries? Where is your church? We don't have a church. Our whole mission, our whole goal is simply to share the truth with persons who are out there who are willing to listen to our testimonies. And we hope that by sharing our testimony and the word of God, that we would be able to bring persons to Christ. And hopefully they would want to not only follow His words, but we want to follow all of the health principles that come along with it too.
And I'm your moderator for this afternoon, Julian Miller. Now, Brother Paul, could you give us a little insight of how Turning Point got started?
Thank you, Brother Julian. Well, it all got started last year, July. As a matter of fact, just yesterday we celebrated our one-year anniversary being on the radio speaking to the nation. It all got started last year, July, where the Lord impressed upon my heart that it's time for us to get on the air to share these sweet principles with His people. And Marlene was on her way to ZNS, as a matter of fact, to start a health segment that she normally airs every Monday at 104.5. And I told Marlene, I said, when you go up there, why don't you see if they have any areas that are open for us to share a roundtable discussion with the people of God. And she said she would do that. So when she came to ZNS, I got a call back within the hour, and the gentleman said, we don't only have one spot available, we have two. So he said, you baby, come and deal with it now, because the spots go very quickly. So when we came down here and we spoke with the gentleman who's in charge of that section, that is Mr. Alex Curry, he said, did you ever do something like this before? And we told him no. He said, well, don't take an hour, do 30 minutes. So we said, okay, we went with the 30 minutes segment. And when I went to pay for the first program, the lady asked me, what is the name of the church? So he said, if it is not about a church, she said, well, then you need a name for your program. So I said, okay, we'll name it Roundtable. So in the midst of the first week we paid for the program in our first recording, my sister that lives here with me, Marlene, and my sister that lives in Texas, Kefian, decided maybe the best name to give the program is Turning Point, which I think is a very good name for a program, because all of us at some point in our lives want to make a turn from the bad parts of life to the good part. Don't care what situation, what category we may find ourselves in. And July 21st, that's 2002, the first program of Turning Point got started. And the same day that we signed up the contract to be at ZNS, Julian stopped by the shop and I told him about it. And he said, what part would I play? I said, well, it's not a rehearsal. We just go forward and see what happens. So here we are with Julian and myself and also Marlene, and that's how Turning Point got started.
So Marlene, how did you get started with teaching health and health issues?
Well, about 4.5 years ago, as I've shared my testimony with the nation on ZNS News some weeks ago, I found myself at a point in my life that I needed a turn. I needed some changes to happen. I was overweight. I was not working consistently. I had started a small business that was not really very successful. And I had just had my third child, and I was really going through a lot of things, and things were not working out the way I wanted them to. We had just lost my brother, and I just needed something. I needed a change. And like the woman at the well, I tell you, I got a change. I got a thirst for change, and God supplied me with a real burst of energy. And I initially went on my knees and said, Lord, you know, I need to lose some weight. I am 218 pounds, and did have to lose the weight. And I took on a vegetarian diet. I decided to go with a vegetarian diet to lose the weight. And 6 months later, I lost about 70 pounds. I was able to come down from an 18-20 to a size 10-12 or so. And I've been able to maintain that weight loss for the past almost 4 years. And from there, although even prior to that, I had taught nutrition in the schools. I had taught nutrition at Bahamas Academy for a few years. And I promised the Lord while I was on my knees that day that I chose to change my lifestyle, that I would definitely teach others who are willing to listen. And it took me from losing the weight to studying with UT Pines Institute to become a lifestyle counselor. And now I'm just all focused on teaching people how they not only can lose weight, but how we can get rid of other health issues. You know, one of the leading, I'd say, you know, in our country, I've come in contact with so many people who have had all kinds of illnesses. And yes, people have come who want to lose weight, but more importantly, they're persons with, not even more importantly, but other issues are cancer, diabetes. You know, I'm doing blood screenings right now and in my classes and at my church. And I find that a lot of my members, a lot of my students are diabetics and they didn't even know it. High cholesterol. All of these issues, osteoporosis, arthritis, people come with all sorts of problems. And so I am just really happy that I can share with people how they can gain some insight on how they can live healthier, how we can live longer, and be more productive.
So what is the relationship between spirituality and health?
It's quite connected. As a matter of fact, I have found within myself, and you know, I can share from my testimony that spiritually, I have grown tremendously. You know, God's plan, this plan that we're sharing with the nation is really God's plan. It's not my plan. I just happen to be the messenger at the time, okay? And all the principles that we've been sharing with you for the past year, whether it may seem it came from a doctor's book or not, it's truly God's plan for your life. And, you know, spiritually, if you find that you're eating, say, for instance, meats, and you feel physically you're being challenged, you're growing, you feel as though you're strong, intellectually and spiritually you're not. Usually, it lessens tremendously, it diminishes your spiritual powers by far. And, you know, the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 that to him that knows to do good and do it not, it's a sin. And I found myself in that situation where I knew I should have been doing better, but I wasn't doing better. So I knew that I had to make some changes because I was definitely sinning. I was not doing God's will. I was not following the principles, you know, the way he had outlined them in the Word of God.
So Paul, what do you see in the relationship between spirituality and health?
Well, I like what the Bible says in 3 John 2. Jesus says that he wishes above all that we prosper and we be in good health, even as our soul prospereth. And the problem is that the reason why we are in poor health is simply because of the way we eat. And eating has a lot to do with your spirituality also, because I've found within myself, whenever you see the Lord sends me somewhere to do a Bible study or to do a testimony on his behalf, he would always encourage me not to eat. And I find that with a good breakfast or with a good lunch and with a few hours in delay, I find myself a little bit more open and clearer to the Holy Spirit working through me. When I try the opposite way by eating first and then going to do what the Lord has asked me to, I find myself being a little bit more sluggish. So I think our diet has a lot to do whatever it is we are doing, whether it be physical or spiritual.
Well, let's go back to Turning Point Ministries for a minute here. How is Turning Point supported?
Turning Point is a self-supporting ministry. The reason why we are self-supported is because a lot of principles we share, a lot of the sponsors out there will contradict some of the things that we promote in order for people to have the best life possible on this side of heaven. And that's the reason why we choose to go self-supported. Now, if you find yourself in a position you would like to help or like to be a sponsor towards Turning Point, be able to receive the funds from you and also give you a full accounting on whatever funds we receive if you care to know. But we would not identify you. We would just simply say thank for those people who give contributions. And there are a few people who give contributions in the past. And right here, we like to also tell them thank you. And that's the reason how we go about doing it.
Okay, Marlene, you mentioned earlier that you're not trying to start your own church. Why not?
No, because there's only one message. There's only one Bible and one church. And I'm already a part of a church. Okay. I'm a part of a church already. So it's not about a church. And the reason I really mention this is because a lot of times people ask, Turning Point Ministries, where's your church? What are you really about? And so I just wanted people to know that we're not really about a church. I don't want you to be frightened when you hear the term ministry. Ministry for me means being able to minister and help my fellow Bahamians, my people, my cousins, my family. That's how I look at it, you know, so it's not a church.
So, Brother Paul, these principles that we talk in, spirituality and health, where do we get them from or where do you get them from?
All the principles that we share with you is taken from the Word of God, whether it be health or spiritual, because John 17:17 tells us, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And I like the principle Jesus laid down when he was here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And if we should just follow these two principles that is found in John 17:17 and Matthew 4:4, you'd be surprised to know how the Holy Spirit will share things with you that you never taught was in the Word of God. So it's very important that when we speak to you as a nation, as we speak to you from Turning Point Ministries, all our principles be Bible-based. And that's why when you hear our program on Sundays at 2 o'clock and 15:40, we'll always say, if you say something that is not according to the Word of God, you are our listening ears. And we expect for you to call us and let us know that what we said is not according to God's Word, because the Lord holds us accountable if we mislead his people. Because there's a serious principle in the Bible where the Bible tells in Matthew chapter 15, verses 14, that if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. Which is a very sobering thought, that whenever I speak to you or any of the members of Turning Point Ministry or any other ministry that is out there, that when they speak to you according to the Word of God. Because the Bible is clear that if I'm blind and I'm leading you, both of us will fall. And that's a painful situation to be in, to know that I'm leading people astray based on the Word of God.
To our audience, we'll be opening the phone lines in a couple of minutes. The telephone numbers are 3255405 or 3255404 or 3255403. To our family and listeners, is 1-300-8255. Now, Marlene, tell me, how important is health?
I'd say it's the most important. As a matter of fact, I have a very special quote that I like to share with my listening audience everywhere I go. And it's taken from a book that I love so much, Counsels on Diet and Food, by one of my favorite authors, E.G. White. And it says, of all temporal possessions, those things that don't last, health is the most precious. It says, wealth, learning, and honor are dearly purchased at the loss of health. And none of them, not your health, not your wealth, not your learning, nor honor, can secure happiness when health is lacking. When I speak to you from this perspective, I am simply saying to you this. There are thousands of people, Julian, in hospital tonight. Thousands of people. People I know. People I may not know. All over the world, we have people who are suffering, whether it be in the hospital or in their homes, suffering because of the lack of knowledge, or suffering because they took their health for granted while they were up the ladder of success, or because they chose to work two or three jobs. Some people think that, hey man, I'm going to work two or three jobs and I'm going to be just fine. And at the end of the day, what happens to you? You're laid out in bed, so sick, you cannot, all the money that you would have accumulated over the time that you would have worked so hard, now you have to take this money and spend it on doctor bills and hospital bills and medication and what have you. And so we are promoting a lifestyle that says, hey, you need to follow some principles. And these principles are very simple. It's called New Start. This nation needs a new start. 60% of this nation is overweight, diabetics, and they don't even realize that they're dying. This is a dying nation. This is not a progressive nation. This is a dying nation. We need help. And I challenge you, Bahamian people, follow these principles. It's called New Start. Proper nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, fresh air, rest, and trusting God to know that when you fall short, He will pick up the slack for you. Or those areas that you cannot control, He will do it for you. For instance, stress. A lot of us are very stressed out. You know, stress can elevate cholesterol. It can cause you to end up in the hospital because we don't know how to let go and let God. That's our biggest problem, okay? So we are just, you know, promoting a very healthy lifestyle, a balanced lifestyle.
Well, now I noticed, I think I heard you say something about vegetarianism.
Yes.
So why vegetarianism?
Because the Bible claims that we should be on a vegetarian diet. You go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. It tells us what the diet should be, that of grains and fruits and nuts and fruit. Thing is, when we eat meats, we're eating secondary protein. Why do you want secondary protein? It's because it tastes good. Everything that tastes good ain't good. The package may look good, but it may not be as good for you as you think it should be. Okay? So we're promoting that which the Bible has outlined. Only Bible.
No, I was going to say, I see Brother Paul shaking his head, but some people go to Acts 10 and tell us that I can eat whatever I want to eat. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think they're misquoting what Acts 10 really says. I'm asking the Bahamian public and whoever else is listening there to really read it through carefully and prayerfully. A lot of them like to say that in that text, God said, whatever you want to eat, you can eat. But if you should read that true, you will see that in Acts 10, it was not really about food, but it was about people. And the Bible says this, the dream was given to Peter. Peter was astonished on what really happened. And it never mentioned that Peter ate anything. And some people also like to say that God said that whatever he has made, call that common or unclean. But you know, if you were to read it through again, you would never see where Jesus mentioned the word unclean. If you should go to chapter 10, verses 15 of Acts, the Bible says, and the voice spake unto him a second time. And God said, what God has cleansed, call thou not common. First up. Now, some people are there would add on to that unclean, when the Bible never said it. What the Bible really did say is that Jesus had told Peter, don't call none that I've made common unclean in the vision. But when Jesus spoke to him, he never used the word unclean to it. You see, because if you add to the word of God, the Bible is clear that the plagues that are written in the book of Revelation chapter 6 will be added unto us. And also the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, we should take away from the word of God, our name should be taken out of the book of life. So it's very important when we speak to the people of God that you speak according to what the word says and nothing else. Because in the verses 28, Peter says clearly of Acts chapter 10 that the Lord has shown me that I shouldn't call any man common or unclean. He never said the Lord has shown me I shouldn't call any animals common or unclean. So let's try to get it right and ask the Lord to show us what it is he would have us to do. In verse 34, Jesus wraps it up clearly as he speaks to Peter, and he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, and that's exactly how it is. He loves us all, don't care what our situation might be, and he would empower us to overcome like he overcame when he was here on the earth.
Marlene, based on your cooking classes and the extravaganzas that we have had, would you say that the Bahamian people are ready for a change in diet and lifestyle?
Are they ready? Yes. You know, when I look back, last year, July, was our first vegetarian cooking and tasting extravaganza. Since then, we've had 6 programs. Each of them, in attendance, the first few, we've had like 150 to 200 people. And on average, we've had about 150 people. So I would say about 700 in the time that we've been doing our programs. Are they ready for a change? Yes. Why? Because they are tired of seeing their loved ones suffer. You know, I had some ladies that came to my class the other evening on Sunday past, and as I was doing their glucose and cholesterol checks, they were very concerned. And one of them mentioned to the other lady that was there, I don't want to know that I have diabetes because I saw my father suffer. I don't want to suffer. So I think our people are becoming more ready. They're more ready for change. They are more, receptive to change because they are tired of suffering. They're tired of being overweight. And right now, you look at our nation, you look at the people, and those who are slim and walking about like they're normal, most times they're not. Most times these people have elevated cholesterol and they don't even realize they do. And then they go to the doctor and they're shocked what is wrong with me? How come I have this problem? What is what's the most prevalent cause of elevated cholesterol for any of us? Meat and meat products. Cholesterol does not come from vegetables and fruits and nuts and grains. Only animal products and meat. That's it. So, you know, I'd say yes, Bahamians are ready. They are ready. From looking at the, you know, and then I go back. I go back to our vegetarian cooking classes, which can average about 22 students. As a matter of fact, in this group, we have about 20 to 22 students that we're doing right now, running right now, and they're ready. I don't have to force people to join these classes. People are more than ready. They're anxious to know, what can I do to feel better? What can I do to get ahead physically and not end up bedridden?
So when is your next extravaganza?
Oh, not till November the 2nd. I've had the question was asked of me last night and yesterday and today. Everyone wants to know, when's the next extravaganza? Not until November the 2nd. It takes a whole lot to put a program like that together. But we do have vegetarian cooking classes that are always ongoing. As a matter of fact, we have another one beginning August the 10th. Mm-hmm. It runs for 6 weeks, six Sundays. Mm-hmm. So it's 4 to 6:15 or thereabouts. And the classes can do things. For instance, we have each week, mm-hmm. we center around different foods. Mm-hmm. For instance, our first week, we may do breakfast foods. And there again, we go into the New Start program. We teach you how you can apply these principles to your life. And let me tell you something, Julian, and the listening audience. People have been seeing results. Do you want to know how you can lose some weight? You want to know how you can lower your cholesterol, get rid of diabetes? Ask my students. They're doing well. I have students who've gone from size 14 to 4, from size 14 to 6, from size... I have a girl that went from a 22, she's down to a 16. Student, they're doing really well. Not only are they doing well from our cooking classes, but people have been listening to our programs. Persons in the family islands have been calling in and saying, hey, I've been blessed by the programs. I've been applying these principles. Not only programming on 1540, but also on 104.5. I'm on every Monday from 12:30 to 1 on 104.5 with the B-Man. And that program is going exceptionally well. You know, and we've been on more than a year.
Okay, I would like to remind those who might not necessarily listen or be familiar with Turning Point, but we do have a program that comes on 1540 at 2 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. And the same topics that we are bringing up today or this afternoon are the same topics that we discuss at that particular time. Now, Brother Paul Marlin says that the Bahamian people are ready for a health change, but are they ready for a spiritual change?
Well, Brother Julian, based on the talk on the streets and through the radio programs and the talk shows, they say yes, but their lifestyle is so different. It's very important for them, if they are not ready, to be ready. I'm going to read you right now from Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. Listen carefully. That's Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. And the Bible says, "And I beheld, and when he had opened up the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as slack-hearted hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars from heaven fell upon the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she is shaken as a mighty wind. And the heaven, the Bible says, departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the captain, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who should be able to stand?" And the answer to that question is, who should be able to stand? All those who have overcome sin. Not overcoming sin, but overcome sin. Why did I read you this passage? A lot of people will tell you that we are not living in the sixth seal. We are living maybe around the fourth or the fifth seal. Do you know that these four things that were predicted in Revelation, also mentioned in Matthew 24, has already taken place? The greatest earthquake that we ever had is known as the Lisbon earthquake. And it took place on November the 1st, 1755. The dark day that is mentioned here that took place in May 19, 1780. And the night that the dark day took place, the sun appeared as blood, which took place May 19, 1780. The same night that the sun became as dark. And the stars actually fell from heaven November 13, 1833. So if you should go between verses 13 and 14, that's exactly where we're living right now in Bible prophecy. Because after those four things I mentioned there, the next verse says, "Then the heavens shall depart as a scroll." So right now we're living on borrowed time. And the reason why that has not taken place yet is because the good news of the gospel, according to Matthew 24, has not gone through the whole world as yet. Because day after day we speak to people, you'll be surprised to know how many people don't even know where the commandments are found. Yesterday I speak to a minister at my shop, and I asked him where the commandments found. He told me it was Leviticus 11, and then he said, no, it's Exodus 20. He said the foods are mentioned in Leviticus 11. Then he got it right. Excuse me. So you see, just how would you know what sin is if you don't know where the commandments are? You do a survey when you go to your workplace tomorrow, and you ask people, where are the commandments found? And if you should ask 10 person that question, maybe one may be able to give you the answer on where the commandments are found, which is so important to find out what sin is. Because if you don't know what sin is, how can we know what to ask God to give us the victory over? So it's very important for us to prepare ourselves that Jesus is about to come. And he's not going to be waiting too long. It's time for us to surrender our lives to him and turn everything over to him.
Brother Paul, as we listen to all the talk shows today, we see that there are a lot of issues and a lot of problems that seem to exist. Why are we having so many problems, it seems, existing now as opposed to when we were little boys?
Well, in Matthew 24, Jesus told his disciples this. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, he said, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. All iniquity is, if you know it's wrong to be going with your neighbor's wife, and you continue to do it and do it and do it, it switches from sin or transgression to iniquity. Iniquity simply means if you know Saturday is the seventh-day Sabbath and you continue to go on Sunday, the first day of the week, it turns to iniquity. You see, the Bible says that him that knows to do it good and to do it not to him, it is sin. The Bible also tells us that if we turn away our ear from the law of God, even our prayer should be an abomination. And I truly believe this is the reason why we have so much crime and violence going on in our land today. So many families that are breaking up and falling apart because we have not listened to the law of God. We have turned away our ear. And because of this, he is no longer hearing our prayers. Because the Bible is clear, the righteous prayer of a man availeth much. Not the unrighteous man, but the righteous man. And how do you become righteous? By abiding in Christ Jesus.
So are you telling me that the only thing that is not an abomination, as we've been hearing over the radio waves, you're talking about homosexuality and lesbianism is abomination. There are other abominations the Bible speaks about?
Yes, there are. The Bible says if a woman dressed like a man, it's an abomination. The Bible also says that a lying lip, it's an abomination. You see, so when people talk about homosexuality being an abomination, these things so are also an abomination. It just pains my heart when I see Christian believers carrying on like the people in the world. You see people go to church and the women dress just like the men. Sleeveless dresses, all kind of stuff like this. You know, it's very important that when you step out, ladies and gentlemen, that you step out representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You got the young men here just as long as the women.
But Paul, the men don't go to church with sleeveless jackets.
Well,
I've never seen a man going to church in a sleeveless jacket. Yet I see women to church in sleeveless gowns, all of their arms exposed, turning the men on. Huh?
I guess they don't realize that they all have to give an account. See, I guess they are following the principle that Cain followed. When Jesus asked him, are you not your brother's keeper? They are also following the principle that the rich young ruler followed. When Jesus told him, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, the time is gone now for us to be focusing on ourselves. There's a principle that is being taught all around the world that before we can love someone else, we must first learn to love ourselves. Do you know if you should go to, I think, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is one of the principles that is shared in the end of time, where Jesus says men will be lovers of their own selves. So whenever you are being taught to love yourself, you are actually taking on something that the Bible tells us not to take on. That is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2. The Bible says, for men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. So all these things are pointing forward to one thing, that this world is wrapping up and it's time for us to prepare ourselves for Jesus to come. Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last time, perilous time shall come. But I think we need to reverse that. For in the last days, perilous time has come. Not shall come, because if we get any worse than this, we're going to be in trouble, ladies and gentlemen.
Our phone lines are 3255405 or 3255404 or 3255403. And for our family islanders, 1-300-8255. Bahamas, feel free to give us a call. Let us hear what you have to say about some of the issues that we're discussing this afternoon. And if you have other questions that we have not brought up, we'll be glad to hear those. Thank you. Marlene, does what you eat have anything to do with how you act?
Yes, of course it does. As a matter of fact, you know, the animal nature, animals have a nature where they are, unfortunately, full of fear, mm-hmm. filled with fear. Mm-hmm. The same mindset, the adrenaline rush that's going through their bodies when they are being slaughtered. This is the same that goes into our system, unfortunately, when we eat these meats and what have yous. And so, yes, What we eat does affect the way we behave. Take, for instance, I'll give you one illustration. Take a group of children. I see the lines are lit up and we're going to take your call, so please keep holding. Take a group of children, you give them some caffeine. Give them something with caffeine in there, the chocolate bars, the sodas, whatever. You put them in a room, and those children will literally go crazy. They will drive you crazy because they can't control the way they're behaving. You understand? Because the caffeine stirs up. It stirs up emotions and gets people excited, and it causes the heart to palpitate. And so the children are out of control. So yes, what we eat definitely affects the way we behave, most definitely. And I'd like to go back to something that Paul said. But let's take the call. Let's take the call. Let's go with the call. Let's go with the call.
No.
Okay, Marlene, continue to your point.
No, I'd like to say that, you know, we need to be very concerned about how we dress, how we wear our clothing, especially young ladies. You know, the Bible tells us in Job 31, verse 1 to 4, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. For what is a man's lot from God above, his heritage from the Almighty on high? Is it not ruin for the wicked, disaster for those who do wrong? Does he not see my ways and count my every step? God is watching, and he wants us to be more concerned about the way we carry ourselves, both women and men. God is really concerned about that.
Okay, we do have a call, but the caller just left a comment, and the question is, Brother Paul, what is the difference between the Bahamas, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Nineveh?
The difference about it in a nutshell is we are not a part of any of them, but some of those things that happened there are being demonstrated here. So what we need to do is, the Bible tells that those things that happened in those countries that was just mentioned will happen for our example. So it's very important for us to ask Lord to give us the power not to go down this area. Isn't God good? He showed us beforehand what happened. And he's now giving us the power to get the victory over so that don't happen to us. So there's no reason to fail. The Lord will give us the victory so we don't have to fulfill in our lives what happened in those countries, like Sodom and Nineveh, so that don't happen in the Bahamas.
Good evening, Cheryl. Go ahead. Hello?
We lost Cheryl.
But Cheryl had a comment, I think, on dress. I guess maybe with the ladies' dress. I think one of the comments that came about...
Maybe Cheryl can call back to make sure that we let us say what she really want to say.
Let's give the numbers again. The numbers again are 3255405, 3255404, 3255403, or from the Family Islands, we invite you to give us a call tonight at 1-300-8255. I think Cheryl called back, is it?
Brother Paul, again, like I said, the shows, the talk shows this whole week and the last couple of weeks dealt with homosexuality. What does the Bible have to say about homosexuality?
Well, the Bible says that we should not find ourselves in the situation dealing with homosexuality. As a matter of fact, the homosexual practice, it's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and it just hurts my heart to know that it's being fulfilled with human beings. It's not being fulfilled with our dogs or our cats. It's being fulfilled with us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and young people. Why are we allowing this prophecy to be fulfilled in our life? But you might say the Bible don't talk about it. Of course it do. If you go to, I think it's Luke chapter 16, Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, so should be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And as it was in the days of Lot, one of the principles that you find in the days of Lot is actually Luke chapter 17, begin at verses 26 through 32, where Jesus first says, as it was in the days of Noah. One of the things I like to mention, as it was in the days of Noah, was, if you should read that story true, you will find that in the days of Noah, the Holy Spirit was slowly withdrawn from the earth, which is so important, because the Holy Spirit's job, the Bible says, is to convict the world of sin. And another thing I like to share with the situation with Noah is, in the days of Noah, it was one boat, it was one door, it was one true message. And at the end of it, the Bible, the people look at Noah as a wild fanatic. And at the end of this, only Noah and his family were saved. Just 8 of them were saved. And I see the same thing happening today. When you share the truth with people, they think God don't mean what he says. And as it was in the days of Lot, this story will be found in Genesis chapter 16, if I'm not mistaken. You need to read that story where Jesus actually sent two angels from heaven to deliver Noah and his family. And as they went forward, the Lord told them not to look back. And to let you know that Jesus means what he says about sin, he says in verse 32 of Luke chapter 17, remember Lot's wife. He means what he says, ladies and gentlemen. And if we don't allow him to be fulfilled in our lives, one sin will keep us out of the kingdom of God.
Go ahead, Steve.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good Paul?
No, this is Miller, but Paul is listening. Go ahead.
Okay. I have got, he said something about abomination, but gay stuff is abomination, and he says something else is abomination.
Yes, when a woman dresses like a man or a man dresses like a woman, it's also said in the Bible that it's also an abomination.
Okay.
God is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 5.
Okay. Let's go. Okay, so you saying that it's okay for gay fellas to be hanging out in this country at this time?
No, sir. I'm not saying it's okay at all. But the problem is, we as Christian believers in Christ, you are Christian, right?
Yes, I'm your neighbor.
Okay, all right, sir. I'm with you. As a Christian, we must hate the act, but by all means, love the homosexual.
Wait, I'm more than a Christian. I'm a believer.
All right, sir. So you see, it's very important for us to love that homosexual, but hate what he do. And by all means, you and I should reach out to them. Even invite them for dinner. Go out with them sometime.
That's the spirit.
Say it again, sir.
That's the spirit.
I agree with you. And that's the reason why the Lord has called me and you and the rest of the believers to cast those demons what? Out.
Okay, now, another problem I have with what you just said. I have a problem with what you just said concerning what you eat.
Okay.
I heard your sister or somebody else, another lady.
That's Marlene.
That's me, Marlene.
Yeah, saying that if you eat, give the children a what? A chocolate or something.
Caffeine or chocolate, yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's energy. That's something for energy. So what you expect if you get something for energy, you get energized. Right or wrong?
No, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Wrong?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Yes, the chocolate bar, the candy bar will give you a very quick high. It will give you a burst of energy. But science has proven, and we have proven within ourselves, that once you would have eaten that candy bar, your energy level drops further than you when you started at, from when you first started. Okay, and the thing is that it's loaded in sugar. Sugar affects the immune system in ways and means I wish I had time to even tell you.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
The sad part is that most of the foods that gives us that burst of energy has so much sugar that it suppresses the immune system. It shuts down your brain and your ability to function. And when you come in contact with people with a common cold, you can't fight it. You come in contact with a flu and you can't fight it. Your body's immune system has been suppressed. Okay? So you think you're getting energy on one end, but really and truthfully, you're affecting your health tremendously.
Thank you very much, Brother Steve.
Okay, but I have one more.
What's that?
This concern in Colossians, 2 Colossians.
Chapter 2.
It said, let no man judge you off what you eat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you trying to say?
It's very important that you, if you take it literally, listen what you have to take literally. Read it from Colossians chapter 2.
Colossians.
Begin at verse number
16.
That's Colossians 2, chapter 16 for the listeners. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect to holy days or new moon or Sabbath days. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you take it just like it says, that means you and I can eat whatever we want to eat, even human beings.
Uh-huh.
We could drink whatever we want to drink. And we also, whenever holy days come around, no different. And whenever new moons come around, which is a month, no different. And whenever Sabbath days come around, no different. But if you want the answer to this, you just go to Leviticus chapter 23, and you'll see all these principles mentioned here. Because it was talking about the ceremonial law, not actually the moral law that points out sin. So if you get two Bibles, you open your Bible to Leviticus 23, and you open your Bible to Colossians 2, 16, and you'll see these principles that are mentioned here in Leviticus 16, Colossians 2, 16.
So what he said, when he said that these things is done away with in Galatians.
Which things that are you talking about are done away with?
These are new moons and these are Sabbath stuff and things that. I wish we had some time. I don't want to take everybody caught. How's the mother call it? But Steve,
hold on, listen to me.
This is the same thing.
I can give you a number. You could call this number, and Brother Paul and I would be willing to come down and talk to you if you if we cannot, because like you said, we cannot answer every question and have the full length of time to really get into some of these subjects. Uh-huh. The telephone number is
322-6273.
Yeah, right. You could call at any time tomorrow, and he'll be willing to talk with you.
All right.
Okay?
Y'all have a good day. Remember you too. That Jesus is Lord and Master.
Always.
You too, brother. Right. Have a nice evening, you and your family.
Now, Lucille from Eleuthera, go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I listen to the show, and I am enjoying every moment of it.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
I would like to know from one of your guests about the vegetables. What do you think, if you can name some of the vegetables that you think is best for you in losing weight?
What are some of the vegetables that are best for losing weight? Go ahead, Marlene.
The vegetables best for losing weight would be the green leafy vegetables, the tomatoes. All the vegetables are good vegetables. Let's put it that way first. Now, there are some starchy vegetables that you may want to cut down on, right? But in particular, the vegetables that I would suggest for you to lose the weight would be the green leafy vegetables. Have a large salad with every lunch you have. Every time you sit down to your lunch or your dinner, you start with a green salad. Always begin with your salads. Okay?
Okay.
And the lettuce that my choice would be the romaine lettuce and the spinach. Okay. And the broccoli and the cauliflower. Have lots of complex carbohydrates. Try and get all the vegetables that are loaded in fiber. All right.
Okay.
Those are loaded in fiber and not too high in starch. Okay.
Okay.
The tomatoes and like I said, you know, those that are rich in water, you know.
Okay.
Another thing you can also do in losing weight is how is your eating habits? Do you eat the principles that we promote every Sunday?
Yeah.
We promote a big breakfast.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Go on. Remember, don't be discouraged. Her name again, Lucy. Don't get discouraged. Remember, if you're overweight, it ran on slow. It's gonna come off slow. Amen.
Right now, I'm weighing 180.
Okay. And you need to lose how many pounds?
Well, I need to lose a little bit more than that.
Okay. Well, are you how late is your eating? How late are you eating in the evenings?
Well, like maybe around 4 or 5 o'clock.
Anything you eat after 4 o'clock, it's usually stored as fat. Okay. Anything eaten after 4, whether it's an apple, an orange, I don't care what it is, because we are most inactive at that time of the day.
Because the reason why I really ask those questions, because I'm a diabetic also.
Okay, that's why when I first start with you, I say what? Eat a large salad. You see, when you think of the salads, you're thinking about, and the greens in particular, the cabbage, the lettuce, the spinach, and all of these others, the cabbage is also included.
Okay.
What it helps to do, it has chromium in there.
Okay.
And that chromium helps to keep your blood sugar level normal.
Okay.
Which is very important for diabetics.
I understand.
Okay? But being a diabetic does not exclude you from your being able to fast that third meal.
Okay.
Are you type 1 or type 2 diabetic?
Type 1.
Type 1. Now, the type 1 has a little more difficulty in terms of fasting because, you know, you have to take that insulin. But the green leafy vegetables will help you. It will supply the chromium. It will supply the fiber. Have lots of beans. The legumes are excellent supply of complex carbohydrate. Not only does it have the carbohydrate, but it has the protein in there.
Okay.
The lentils, the kidney beans, these are great foods. And, of course, you must always check with your doctor to make sure that what you're doing, you're on the right track.
Yes, because with the insulin, doesn't take no needle. I take the pills, the Dimicron. I've been taking the Dimicron, and I used to take, like, 1-3 times a day.
Right.
So now I cut down on some of the foods I've been eating, so I'm down to 1 every day now.
Beautiful. That's
I just
very
take
good.
One every day.
That's very good.
And that's the Micron MR.
Okay. That is excellent. And if you can continue losing your weight, you may find yourself off of that included.
Okay.
You know, if your pancreas is still producing insulin, are you aware or not if it's still producing some insulin? If you're type 1, it probably is producing very little, if at all.
Yes.
Okay. But keep on listening.
Animals are not really good because these are the things that deal with the toxic waste.
Thanks.
And when we eat these things, it causes danger to us. And believe it or not, when we do this, knowing that these things are toxic, we are breaking that commandment that thou shalt not kill. You see, a lot of people don't believe the commandments are just, they are really broad. And whenever we kill ourselves, God lays a principle down in His word. He said, if we destroy the temple of God, He should destroy us when He comes. So this is one of the reasons why we are on the air every Sunday and on Monday, sharing these principles with the people of the Bahamas and around the world, because a lot of people out there preaching a lie. That's not true. You know, and God wants us to warn His people because He paid an ultimate price for them. And He doesn't want us to keep this good news to ourselves.
If we look at Leviticus 7, verses 23 and 26, and one of the things we know about all the livers and kidneys and other organs, that they are rich in blood or and fat. And what does it say in Leviticus 7, 23 and 26? It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat. And verse 26 says, moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or beast, in any of your dwelling. So the Bible gives us a good instructions in terms of how on what we should eat and how we should eat it. As a matter of fact, I think the Jews kosher their meat, so their meat has no blood or no fat into it. So they don't have to worry about those type of problems. Marlene?
Then too, I would like to add that the organ meats, when you think of the liver and the kidneys, these are, the liver is like the filter. It's a filtering system. You understand? Mm-hmm. And if you were to keep on eating foods that are filled with toxic waste, what do you think your body will be composed of? Mm-hmm. Toxic waste. The organs are simply toxic. And then, like Andy Julian says, it's loaded in blood. And where's most disease found? Where are the diseases found?
In the blood.
Well, I was aware of the Bible and its saying and teachings, but what really brought this matter home to me so much of recent, my son and his science class, and when he came home, he had a whole list of things that we were not going to do anymore, including the fact that he wanted us to eat brown rice and
Amen.
Brown bread.
He sounds like he's been to my class.
I think so.
What school is that?
He goes to Mount Carmel.
Wow, that is great. I need to go and commend them.
definitely. But thank you very much. This is my first time listening to your program,
well,
and I must continue. You're doing an excellent job.
We're on Sundays from 2 to 2:30, and we hope that we'll be able to carry this program live at least once every other week. So pray for us.
I think I need to try and get a little love offering together for you.
You go right ahead.
We're having fun doing it. So tell your friends about it, you know.
It's
more exciting. When I used to ride motorbikes, I used to do 145 miles an hour in the streets of Nassau.
Oh, you live on the edge.
Yes, ma'am. I'm very much on the edge. And I knew if I died, I was going to end up in hell. And the Lord didn't spare my life for anything. So I told him that if he would just provide us with the funds, that we'll be here every week.
Okay.
And it is a self-supporting ministry simply because a lot of the things that are being sold out there do not promote the principles of God. And this is the reason why it's self-supporting. And so far, the Lord has been blessing us real good. And we hope that whatever funds that come in, we would use it to maybe expand, to go further than what we are able to do right now.
I hope you do expand, and I do hope that other Bahamians will realize that programs that are indigenous of our people and to our people, we should support, and the best way to support you would be financially.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Brian.
A godly evening to our beautiful Bahamas. Okay, I have a question. My two questions, for that matter. If you were to have a surgery, right?
Yes, sir.
What sort of vegetable would be best for pain and to use as an antibiotic?
What type of surgery?
Yeah.
Any type of surgery whereby you are cut. And you know experience pain. Well, of course, you're gonna experience pain, and you would need antibiotics. So, I would know what type of vegetable or food you should use to alleviate the pain and make sure that you doesn't get any infection.
Well, the echinacea and golden seal is a herb. And it's a natural antibiotic, as well as the garlic. Garlic is number one on the list always because it's antiviral, antibacterial. But the echinacea and golden seal is excellent.
What do you get there?
You can get it at any health food store. Any of the health food stores. I mean, I'm sure I can name a few. We have the Better Living on Balfour and St. Charles Vincent Street in the Grove.
But tell me something. If I doesn't remember the name, would they be able, and I just tell them what I
decide?
Would,
tell them you want a natural antibiotic.
Okay.
You start with the garlic. Start with the garlic. If you have garlic at home, you can actually start using it, whatever you have. But you get the echinacea and golden seal. There again, though, you don't want to take it longer than 7 to 10 days. Just like any other antibiotic, your body becomes immune to it, okay? And you don't want to take it longer than necessary.
Okay.
In terms of pain, if you're having pain, there are two other herbal supplements or three supplements that you can use for that. There's something called the willow bark. There's also another combination of MSM and glucosamine sulfate, which is an excellent supplement for pain, if you're experiencing pain. But you know something else?
Mm-hmm.
You can take a hot towel, get a towel, immerse it in water, hot water, as hot as you can bear it. Then you get another towel, you put it on the area where you're experiencing the pain,
mm-hmm.
and you put that hot towel on top of it and let it sit there for about 20 minutes. 20 minutes of hot and then a few minutes of cold, just about 2 to 3 minutes the most of cold. And you can take a cold towel or a cold rub and just rub the area like a mitten.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can apply the hot again. And this has been proven to help to get rid of the pain. This is called hydrotherapy.
Okay. At least the question. You speak of the garlic, right?
Yes,
you shouldn't take the garlic for more than 7 to 10 days.
No, the garlic you can take forever.
Oh,
every day.
Okay.
Every day. As
okay.
a matter of fact, the supplements are available. If you don't want to take the raw garlic, the supplements are stronger than the actual garlic.
What happens if you get a split bone or a broken bone or a bone out of place? What do you use for a situation as such?
Well, you're gonna have to go to the doctor.
Yes, I know, but you doesn't have a food or a vegetable or fruit whereby you can use to alleviate or to knit the bones back together or to put the bones back in place?
Well, we have something you can use to help to strengthen your bones, which is called some calcium tablets you can buy. But as far as we know, with having it mended without going through the process of putting the cast on it, that there's nothing like that. But if you know of someone that is experiencing brittle bones, they can get some calcium tablets that will help to strengthen the bones. Or maybe they can just get it naturally by eating. What is high in calcium is the Romanian lettuce.
The
Romanian lettuce is like a long
romaine lettuce. Yeah.
It's high in calcium.
And it's also high in vitamin K for, you know, for bleeding and all of that facets of wound healing and all of that.
Okay.
For clotting and all of that.
Okay. Thank you kindly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right. All right, Brother Paul, our early callers, Steve, spoke about Colossians 2, verse 16, about being judged with meats and eats and drinks. Would you like to further explain that for us, please?
It's very important when you look at the scripture. I always tell people to get two Bibles. And if you should get two Bibles and you turn your Bible to Leviticus chapter 23 and Colossians 2, verse 16, all of these things you see mentioned, you're talking about the meat and the drinks and the holy days and the new moons and the Sabbath days are mentioned there. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 20 don't talk about Sabbath days. They talk about a Sabbath day, singular. This here is talking about Sabbath days, when back in Leviticus 23, during the ceremonial laws, they used to have a whole week of Sabbaths. So this here is not referring to the commandments of God that Jesus wrote with his finger. It is referring to the ceremonial law that was written by Moses in a book that was kept on the outside of the Ark of the Covenant. And when the commandments that point out sin was kept on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And if you should watch programs like on churches, some churches have these things in their church, a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. And this, where the two angels or the two cherubims standing over it. And that is what it was in those days.
Okay. Sister Marlin, I got a question for you. Can all the medical problems that we experience, could they be solved naturally?
Yes, I'm convinced of that. Yes, 100%. So I'd like to go back to Steve's question. That was Steve who was on with us. I mentioned
Brian.
The romaine, Brian, yeah. Brian with the fracture or broken bone. And I mentioned the romaine lettuce. Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
The vitamin K found in there, that's what I was saying to him earlier, that the vitamin K is really vital for healing. So you need to either get some vitamin K or get some romaine lettuce. Which one is easier? I think I would enjoy a great big salad. And we have another call on the air.
Okay, go ahead, Mickey.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I want to find out, what supplement can you take for anxiety?
For anxiety?
Yeah.
What supplements can we take for anxiety, Marty?
Well, when you think about anxiety, you're thinking of a person who needs to, first of all, trust God. Trust God to do all that he can to heal you. But the vitamin B complex is very effective. Are you on any supplements at all? Are the person you're calling for, rather?
Yeah, I'm on the B12 vitamin.
You're on the B12?
Yeah.
Then you have the valerian root. Have you heard of the valerian root?
No.
Take it down. V-A-L-A-R-I-A-N. Oh. Valerian root, uh-huh. Or the chamomile.
Chamomile.
Uh-huh. The okay. Chamomile, and they come in tablet and tea form.
Okay.
And they are truly excellent for relaxing and soothing all the nerves.
So that's
in addition to the complex vitamin B. You should take a complex vitamin B. Don't take unless you've been recommended by your doctor just to take the 12, uh-huh. And you've been known to be deficient in that one area. It's been known that when you take them individually, you kind of tend to one outweighs the other, and you may not get what you really need. So, you know, the B complex, a balance is a good balance, and it will help you tremendously. If that doesn't work, you get the sublingual vitamin B12 and folic acid, which is very good,
yeah.
The combination. Or you just need to probably take a shot. You can ask your doctor for a B12 shot,
mm-hmm.
And that helps. But the valerian root, the chamomile, excellent teas, and you can, like I said, you get them in tea or herbal supplement forms, tablet forms.
Okay, the anxiety is the other word, I mean, for stress or something.
Kind of, you can say that. That's why the first thing I started with is I told you you need to trust God.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something about anxiety, and I used to be like that.
Exercise.
Julian's here running in front of me. Hey, you're forgetting exercise. Exercise is key. Are you exercising?
No, that's what I need to do.
Every day, when you find you're in that situation where you're overly anxious or you're overly stressed, exercise.
Uh-huh.
Exercising every day, at least for a person in your situation, at least 6 days a week.
6 days.
5 to 6 days is necessary.
Yeah.
5 to 6 days, and at least 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Now, I would tell you that you could do it for more than 20 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the time, 20 to an hour.
Yeah.
20 minutes to an hour would be beautiful. The endorphins will set in. The hormones will help you to feel a lot better.
Yeah.
You'll feel more in control of your life. You'll mm-hmm. feel more in control of your situation.
Yeah.
You know, and you will not be as stressed as you, you know,
yeah.
are now. But come to R.M. Bailey Park in the morning. That's where we're at. A whole group of us. If you're close by, if you have trance,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, we are there most mornings from... And ask for Marlene. Everybody knows Marlene.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows Marlene. Everyone on the park knows Marlene.
Okay.
I make myself known to everyone. Of course, everyone loves Marlene.
Yeah.
But you come to the park, and we'll walk with you.
Okay.
I have Thelma and a whole bunch of us guys over there, George, a whole bunch of us. We're having a great time at the park in the mornings. We're there from 5 to 7
mm-hmm.
every morning.
So
if we're not there exactly 5, about 5:30 thereabouts.
Okay, so,
except on Sabbath. Saturdays, we go to church, so
okay.
I'm not there on a Sabbath. Okay. But if you're anxious, you stress, exercise. Let me tell you, I took a student with me walking a few years ago. She was extremely anxious and she was stressed out. I said, would you like to go walking with me? She said, yes. But you know something? We went walking, and by the end of our walk, she did not even remember what she was stressed about. Science has proven that when you are overly anxious and you're depressed or you're anxious and you're stressed out, when you go walking versus persons who would take pills or medication, you are equally benefited. However, the person that exercises is more organized, they're better at planning, they're more in control.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'd say give it a shot.
Because I need to, because I haven't done that over 2 years.
Well, do it, Nikki. I'll look for you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, Nikki. Our telephone numbers are 3255405, 3255404, 3255403, and for our family islanders, 1-300-8255. I want to let our audience know that we'll be here until 9:30. So I know it's coming close to 9 o'clock. So you could still call. We'll be here till 9:30. Okay. Hey, Janice, line 2. Go ahead.
Hi. Good evening.
How are you doing, Janice?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say thank you to Sister Marlene.
Well, thank you.
Marlene, I want to say thank you for your enthusiasm and the way you have been stressing the health message. I have been one who has been very sickly due to the fact that I have had poor eating habits, and now that I've changed them, I realize that I have, you know, reduced a lot of my problems, and I don't suffer from the things I used to a lot one time ago. Mm-hmm. Now, I have my only denominator, if I don't get to exercise, I've been doing the cutting back and eating certain foods and eliminating others, but I haven't been able to exercise, and I'm wondering, is there a need for me to do that, even though I'm cutting back in the eating and drinking a lot of water and practicing good healthy habits?
Well, Janice, I'd say yes, most definitely. Exercise prolongs life. You're looking at living longer, you're looking at feeling better. Exercise is the key. You can do all, you know, it's a part of our system, the New Start plan that we're sharing. You can't take one and leave out the other. You need to carry all of it. It's one package, one message, you know. One message, and that's exercise included. Nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, fresh air, rest, trust in God. It's all one. You have to start incorporating some of it into your everyday life. Now, if you can't get it in, say, for instance, early in the morning or late in the evenings, like most Bahamians do, then why not take a walk while you're at work after lunch? Take a 10 to 15-minute walk after breakfast. You know, it doesn't have to be all at one sitting. A lot of people think that it needs to be at one, you know, just one time. You can take it in 15 minutes at a time. You know, that way you are able to do what, you know, all of what you need to do that's necessary to make your life better and more complete. The exercise is key. You have to exercise. Right. At least 3 days a week.
Well, the only thing I can think about then, if I can't get to go out to the tracks or walk wherever I want to go during the day, then it's to just do the in-step walking or a little exercising at home. That's the only thing I can think about.
Well, what about lunchtime at break?
Well, you just want to get away and just sit somewhere as quietly as possible to just unwind, because, you know, where I work is a kind of stressful area, and you just need to unwind. You don't need to have...
And that's just why you need to exercise. You're in a stressful environment. Exercise is key.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something. Exercise, you exercise and you will not be stressed. Your boss will come into your job area and he'll wonder, what is it that has you whistling and smiling all day long?
There
okay?
You
so all you right. do that.
All right.
You do
now,
that.
Now, the other thing I wanted to find out, Sister Marlene, there's a problem I notice a lot of us Bahamian women have, and that's a problem with acne. And I notice that around a certain period every month, I realize I have a serious breakout of them. Now, I for the life of me cannot imagine what is it I'm doing wrong and why would it happen to everyone. I'm going to just ask you this question and I hope that you can give me some pointers. I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
For your response.
Well, thank you for calling, Janice.
You do well.
Thank you.
And thank you, Brother Julian and Brother Paul.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
When you think about acne, you're thinking about stress there again. You're thinking about stress there again. You know, it's all connected. And then, of course, our diet has a lot to do with the problems. When you see acne on the face, it's only the bacteria, the our poor eating habits coming out onto the surface area. Get rid of the soft drinks. Get rid of the fatty foods. And you know too, the salt at that time of the month, you need to pull back on the salt. And this will help you tremendously with the acne problems that you may be experiencing. And then, too, what you can do, you can use, if none of this helps, none of those things help, you can use get the oats, put it in a sock, and use it to wash your face. It's very soothing, and it helps to cleanse and clean the skin of all these ailments that you may be having on the face. But truly, whatever you see on your face is just simple. It's because your inside may be just a little more dirty than it should be. In regular terms, it's dirty and it's trying to get on the outside. So wash your face lots of times during the day with lots of water, but drink lots of water, exercise, eat right, get rid of the soft drinks, get rid of the sodas, those that are high in sugar, and the meats and the fatty foods and the spicy foods. All of this will help you to get rid of the acne problems that you're having. I've never had acne. Never had it, even from high school, because I always exercised. I told people I had the fat advantage. I was fat from day one, so I always exercised, and I never had a problem with acne. Next caller.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
My question is related to, I heard you mention Leviticus 23, and then you said about if you eat the fish out of the sea, it should be the ones with scales and fins. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then you referred to the animals to avoid the cut and whatever. Can you explain that part and give me examples of which animals you're talking about?
Yeah, if you should read Leviticus chapter 11 and also Deuteronomy chapter 14, you'll see these principles are listed there. They also give a list of some of the birds that we can eat. And the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 11 that if we eat anything from the water, it should have fins and scales. And if you eat anything from the land, it should chew the cud and split the hoof.
What does that mean?
Take for instance, the pig. The pig splits the hoof, but it does not chew the cud. As a matter of fact, in the same chapter, Leviticus chapter 11, also Deuteronomy chapter 14, the Bible says it's even wrong for us to touch the dead carcass of a pig, meaning after it's dead. So, like the horse. The horse chews the cud, but it does not split the foot. The hoof means the foot. So the Bible says it must have both of these, like the goat. The goat splits the foot and it chews the cud. You could eat that. But whenever you eat it, you must make sure it doesn't have fat or blood, meaning that it would be kosher. And if you should go, whenever you go to the food store again, you know, the butcher will be able to tell you that they do sell kosher meat. And all it means that it doesn't have no fat and blood, because this is where the poison really is. It's in the fat and the blood.
So are we sinning if we eat these things? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
I thought that the modern day, like after the New Testament and the resurrection, that all of that New Testament formality was done away with.
Based on what scripture?
Based on the New Testament that we are now sinners saved by grace, and that Jesus wants us to live in accordance with the New Testament and not follow too much of those traditions of the Old Testament.
Well, in the Old Testament, it was also saved by grace. Did you know that?
Salvation hadn't come yet. They were still living under a lot of rituals and formality under the law of Moses and kings and their time. Jesus Christ hadn't saved us as yet. And so his word in the New Testament teaches us that the New Corinthians teaches us how we should live in terms of our holiness, but it doesn't have all that emphasis on the formality of food and meat and so forth. And then there's another part. Vinny told Peter in a vision that don't call anything unclean that he made, and that we should just bless our food and eat it. Now, I agree with healthy eating and proportion and the balanced meal, which includes your vegetables. And, of course, you should avoid fat and cholesterol for all the obvious reasons, of course. But, I mean, are we really sinning if we eat everything? I mean, God made everything, and he made those things that are good for food and those that are clearly are not good for food.
There's so many things that you said in that short space of time that I know for sure I won't be able to answer all of them on the air. But if you care to give me a call, we can sit on the phone and we can talk about this till tomorrow. I'm telling you, my telephone number is 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Okay. Or if you wish to leave your number with the producer, you can leave it with them, and I'll be sure to call you.
Okay. So
dealing with the law of Moses and the law of God, there are two distinct laws.
Yes.
The law of Moses was dealing with the ceremonial law,
which was done away with.
Yeah, the ceremonial law was done away with.
But
the ceremonial law doesn't talk about health. I mean, but food. It was a process that the Lord put in place to save his people when they had to sacrifice an animal for forgiveness of sin.
And Jesus Christ abolished all of that. We don't have to cut a lamb and kill an animal and eat the meat of the fire and all that anymore. We give him our lives and we repent and confess our sins.
You're correct on that. But the problem, when he took down the middle wall of partition, giving us access to go boldly to him in his presence, he did not abolish the eating principles. See, the eating principles are still there. You see, in Acts 10, we touched that earlier. I don't know if you was listening at the beginning of the program. Were you listening?
Not at the very beginning.
Okay, in Acts 10, right, if you should go there and you should read that too prayerfully and carefully once again, ask for the Holy Spirit guiding, you will never see where Jesus said he made anything common or unclean. What you will see is he never made anything common. But he never mentioned he didn't make anything unclean. So, what the whole chapter is about is about human beings. It's just a copy of the situation here now with the homosexual issue.
Mm-hmm.
We are no better than the homosexuals. The only difference is you and I have gotten the victory over whatever sin we were dealing with. They have not gotten the victory as yet.
Right.
And as long as they cry out to the Lord, they will get the victory.
Mm-hmm.
My sin back in the day, I used to go hanging out with my friends, doing all kind of stupidness, and the Lord gave me victory.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the homosexuals, they need victory over that lifestyle. They need victory, because if they don't, they're going to be lost.
Correct.
You see, so we need to, and you mentioned something about grace. Grace was also in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, the Bible said the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 6:8 tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 2 tells us that the people in the wilderness found grace.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so grace was always here. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for grace, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they would have eventually died.
Mm-hmm.
But God's grace kicked in. And this is the same thing that got Satan living today. This same grace. See, great grace works both ways. It gives you and I an opportunity to live a life of sin. And then when you and I are willing to give that life up, it gives you and I the power to live the life away from sin. Like what Romans 1:16 says,
yeah,
that you and I should not be ashamed of the gospel of God. For
right.
Referring
but
to the
eating these things are not a sin, because right here in the text that you referred to, it says clearly, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts on the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. That's referring back to the Old Testament, Leviticus, mm-hmm, all of the requirements there. And the voice said to him, which is the voice of God again, the second time, what God had cleansed, thou call not common. So this is what this is saying to me, is that once I bless my food, that is no longer unclean. And this is God speaking to him directly here, saying, the scripture says here, all wild beasts and creeping things and everything. That includes everything.
Okay, I tell you what. But which part of the voice in the chapter 10 it says that Peter eat anything?
It says Jesus told him to eat it.
Well, I mean, okay,
13,
yeah.
And there the voice came, the uh-huh, voice of God. This is God is speaking to him directly.
Rise, kill and eat.
Peter, rise, kill and eat. That's an uh-huh order.
And then Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.
Then verse 15 says, and the voice said unto him again the second time,
okay,
what God had cleansed, called out not common. Now see, I okay grew up in the Baptist church, right?
Okay.
And, you know, we study the scripture back and forth from Leviticus and back, right?
Mm-hmm.
From showing the beginning to the end.
Yes.
This is so specific. This is so clear. I mean, there's even no Greek terminology to interpret these verses.
What you are missing in verse 15, right? That Jesus never ended with the word unclean. He only ended with the word common. If you should look that word up, common,
mm-hmm,
that refers that you and I are no better than anyone out there who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
I agree with you on that.
All right? And then he also used the word unclean, that you and I too were once unclean before we came to the foot of the cross.
Right.
But now that we have come to the cross, we are now clean because of what Christ has done for us and what he will continue to do through us. Because John 15:5 tells us that for without him, you and I can actually do nothing. And that means you and I don't even have to remember to breathe in and out. It's all because of Christ.
I agree with all of that, but I mean, this scripture just tells me that I can eat all the wild beasts and everything.
Okay, so you're going to call me, right? You're going to call me, and when you call me, I want you to tell me where in Acts 10 Peter ate some food. He never ate food, because the Bible is clear that Peter said the Lord has shown me that I shouldn't call any man common or unclean.
He did not say man.
Okay, we'll go to verses, if you go to verses 28, go to verses 28 of Acts 10.
Yeah.
Listen carefully. And he said unto them, ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto another nation.
Mm-hmm.
But God has shown me that I should not call what?
Any man.
Common or what?
Unclean.
Now notice he didn't call any animal.
Right.
And any man. And then verse 34 sums it up. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is what? No respecter of person. So my heart goes out to anyone there that is living a life of sin, especially the homosexual in this kind of time. I wish all homosexuals come to my house tonight. I'll be waiting to see them. I'll even cook food for them. I love those brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? Because I know what the Lord has delivered me from. And I'm sure when the Holy Ghost take over these homosexuals, they're going to be preaching the gospel more powerful than me and you, my sister.
Yeah, but verse 34 refers to man, but verse 14 and 13 refers to food. Clearly,
What we need, right? Revelation chapter 22 is very careful, very, very serious. Revelation chapter 22 says, if you and I add to the word,
mm-hmm,
God will take our name from the book. He'll add the plagues, as a matter of fact.
Right, but I think you're adding that bit to verse 14. That's what you're doing. That's basically to food, and you're similarizing it with verse 34, 35, which is referring to
but
the
they're
man.
They're all connected. You cannot take a portion of the scripture and choose to determine what it means. You must read the entire context, everything. And determine what is this really saying in its context.
Anyway,
you know, we will look forward to hearing from you. We have a few other calls, and our time is basically gone. So keep on listening,
and God bless you. 322-6273. If you say anything that is not right, we would love to come to the nation, let them know that we made a mistake, and we would like to hear your voice would be said. Thank you for calling. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you
very much. No. Mrs. Bodie from Exuma, go ahead.
Yes, I would like for the speaker to clear up that the way which was saying of it, that
Okay, the acne problem.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm so glad you called because I was about to address it again anyway.
Okay.
When you think of a person with acne, you're thinking about a person whose oil, you know, the glands are probably secreting lots of oil. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some people are affected with diet. Some people are not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some people's diet need to be altered. They need to take out the junk foods and what have yous. But vitamin A, which you find in the carrots and the those are healing vitamins,
mm-hmm.
right? You can take lots of vitamin A. I wouldn't say take it in terms of the vitamin itself. You can just take foods. Okay, we have 10 minutes.
Nice.
Then you can also look at the use of the vitamin B, which helps a lot with calming the nerves and helping persons to not, you know, you're not as anxious about what's happening to you. Complex vitamin B is very, very effective. But I also shared with the listener is washing her face frequently throughout the night or throughout the day, not allowing the bacteria and the buildup of oils. If you can get to a restroom, if you're at work or wherever, wash your face. I know now a lot of our women wear lots of makeup. And unfortunately, that clogs the pores. And they may not want to necessarily wash their faces while they're at work. I tell them what to do. Take off the makeup because the makeup is loaded in mercury, which is not good for us. Okay? Which causes other problems to exist. So, you know, all of these factors need to be taken into place, taken into consideration.
Thank you very much, Mrs.
Yes,
Brody.
Thank you all very much. I can't get a lot of good understanding now about it.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you again, and you have a blessed night.
You too, ma'am. Brayman, go ahead.
Yeah, I called back. This is Brayman. I called back for the same reason. If you were to have the red blood, the white blood eating up the red blood cell, what would you do about that? And then, this cabbage in which you spake off, right? Do you get that in the food store? And my third question is, if you have athlete feet, right, what do you do there?
you ask so much questions, Brayman.
Okay, why don't you leave your number with the producer so that I can call you back? I will very quickly say what you can do for the athlete's feet. Get some garlic, get the garlic powder, you sprinkle on your athlete's feet. And you do that every day until it's gone. That's excellent. For getting rid of the athlete's feet, as well as you can get the fresh garlic clove, put it in some vinegar, allow it to sit for a few days, and then you can use that to rub in the area of the athlete's feet. Excellent. Excellent. The other question was on the white blood cells and the red blood cells.
Bill answered after
what was the third question?
He's on hold. We're going to answer. Okay. We're going to go to Norma. That's Norma?
Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Naomi.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I was looking at Romans chapter 14, I wanted this, if I may, just read several verses, short verses.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it starts off by saying, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him. And it went on to, in verse 5, to talk about one man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So it seems that some of the things that the lady who called and the dispute or whatever was the debate or whatever was going on, some of the things it seems like the Apostle Paul dealt with in this chapter in Romans.